Amen, church. I've got the privilege of ministering this morning, so it's amazing. It's an upgrade today from youth ministry to the church. Amen. But in the same breath, I also just want to honor Pastor Richard and Jolene for shepherding this flock. Thank you very much. And Pastor, thank you for the opportunity that I can share this morning. And I also just want to welcome my mom and dad-in-law today. Thank you for being here. Amen. Amen. So as you know, I have to share a bit before I get to the main message. We do have youth groups, two actually. We've got two youth groups. So we've got one on a Thursday, and we've got one on a Sunday morning. And I got to say, church, the youth, the young people are hungry for God. The young people are hungry for God. And I remember 2 weeks ago, we had such amazing worship at youth. And I took the guys back to hostel. And they were speaking to me. And they said, Moja, can we perhaps maybe like stop the games at youth? And I'm like, okay, why? They're like, because we want to worship more. And we want to hear the word more. And for me, it was like a breakthrough because it's like, you know, that's my heart's desire for young people to actually be like, you know, let's put this on pause for now and let us focus on the Lord. Because that's my heart's desire for each and every person that comes to you. It's like when I see young people, it's like, yes, can you please just come to you? Can you please just come to you? Because God has got so much in store for you. And church, I just want to, you know what, let's get excited once again about what God is doing in our midst. I mean, like, you look at young people and, like, you know, I'm going to be safe and say this. Most of us, when we see young people, sometimes we just think of the noisemakers. I mean, like, look at me and listen to my voice as I speak. It's a bit loud. But I'm telling you, when it comes to that time of stillness before the Lord, they are engaging with God. And they are just seeking more and more and more of God. And some of the young people said to me, Moja, you know what? The teaching that you guys give us here at youth, we don't get in our churches. And I was like, wow. And I mean, like, we just read scriptures to them. We just get scripture. We've got Devin also sharing. And we've got Verush. We've got a good team of people that's willing to just give the word, the undiluted word of God. And that's what the young people need right now. We don't need, like, you know what, to be like, you know what, it's okay, carry on with what you're doing. No, we just need to know what the Bible is saying to us so that we can repent, turn our lives around, and follow God. That's what we need because, like, we believe that the world has lied to us so much. And now we're seeking the truth. And we're going after God. And we have a song that we sing at youth, I'm Chasing You. I am chasing you. I'm running after you. And there's nothing that's going to stop me. There's nothing that's going to stop me. And church, I got to say this. A year ago, with the same youth, we had to sell our support center's van. So we didn't have transport. And I thought to myself, this is it. No more youth now. What are we going to do? But then I approached one of the people in church. And they actually offered to go take the youth from hostel and bring them here. And I'm like, okay, great stuff. We have a start. We've got someone. And then Devin joined the youth. And he comes to me and he's like, Moja, my dad has a kumbi, he has a truck, and he has a this and that. And I'm like, aren't you sent of the Lord? That is amazing. And then one of the ladies in the church is like, Moja, I've got a baki and I want to join youth ministry. And I'm like, the Lord bless you. Come and join the youth group. So we've got transport, we deliver, we take them from, we fetch them from hostel and we also take them back after we're done. But this morning, church, it's, as I said, it's a privilege for me to share the word. And this morning, church, I just want to ask a question. What is on your plate? What is on your plate this morning? What are you serving? What's being served to you also? What is it that you are consuming, and what is it that is consuming you? What is it that is filling you, and what is it that is also consuming you? Because sometimes we can get to that place where we are consuming, but later on in life, that thing is going to consume us. That very same thing that we thought, this is amazing, I can take it in, there's going to come a time where it consumes us. So this morning, the scripture that I'm wanting to focus on is found in Matthew 5. This is amazing. I'm going to love this. And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Church, my question is there a hunger for righteousness? Is there a hunger for the things of God? When you think about God, do you actually hunger for more of him? When you think about Jesus, do you go like, I need him more in my life than I need some other stuff in my life? What is your intake? What is on your plate? Every morning when you wake up, what is on your plate? I spoke to Pastor Richard in the week, and I'm like, Pastor, this word is like brooding in my spirit. I need to share it. Because it's like my quiet time has changed. Since the Holy Spirit impact weakened. Since then, it's like, you know what? When you read the word, it's like it becomes a reality. It becomes a reality. It's no longer that thing of like, you know what? Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. But is there a thirst, church? Is there a hunger for God? Because, like, you know, without hunger, God cannot work, actually. If you're not hungering for God, you are hungering for something else. If God is not central, if God is not on your plate, then there is something that's going to replace God. Do we understand it this morning? So what is your intake? What is filling you? Are you thirsting for righteousness? Are you hungry for more of God in your life? My wife and I yesterday, as we were fixing the baby room, yes, 2 more days, then she's here. Amen. Amen. We've been waiting. We've been waiting. So if you don't see me at church, I'm changing diapers. My wife and I yesterday, around about 4 o'clock, I had like a guitar. I can play the bass guitar. But when it comes to the acoustic guitar, I only play 4 chords. G, E minor, C, D. And my wife and I were, I don't know what happened. I just pulled out this guitar and I started playing. And then we began to worship. And we began to worship. With those 4 chords, we sang around about 8 songs. We made those words fit into those chords. And we were just singing. Like, we also sang the song, "What a Beautiful Name It Is." Because, church, there's such a hunger. My wife wakes up around about 2 o'clock in the morning. And she goes, sits in the living room. And she's in the Word. And she's in the Word. And I'm like, God, thank you. Thank you. We want more of you. God, we've had enough of this world. We just need more of you. We need a touch from Jesus. And this morning also in worship, I felt like, you know what, there was a part where we are supposed to push even more into the presence of God. Because it's like, and then the Lord began to speak to me and he showed me like that lady that had the flow of blood for 13 years. You know what? It was a shameful thing in the Bible to actually have that flow of blood. But she decided, shame is not going to hold me back. Shame is not going to hold me back. And now I was just thinking, like, you know, there is so much in our lives that when you try to worship and Satan's like, I know what you did. I know what you did. And then we feel this thing pulling us back. I cannot truly worship because of what I did. And the thing is, I always tell the youth, like, guys, you need to listen to this. Satan will call you by your sin, but God will call you by your name. And then so God was calling us, and there's an invite each and every time when we come into worship to be like, okay, here we are, God. We know, God, that you know what? We are fallen beings. But God, that is not going to stop us from worshiping you. I am not going to be stopped because of, like, you know, of the stuff that is not right in my life. I believe it's in worshiping you, God, that all these things are going to line up. So when God invites us, we do not run away, but we run to him. We always run to him. Let's get back to Matthew. If we don't hunger and thirst for righteousness, we're going to be drifting away. We're going to be drifting away from God. Tani Rosita, I think it was early this year or last year, late last year, had a sermon. Draw closer or drift away. That's it. I'm done with the sermon. We can go home. Draw closer or drift away. That's what's going to happen. Unless you are drawing closer to God, something is going to be pulling you to the other side. Unless you are focused on Christ Jesus, your eyes are on something else. And this sermon is like, you know it. You know this truth and you know what God is saying. Like, you know what? Just focus on me and leave everything. But it's like, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard because it's like, you know, our eyes are so locked on momentary things instead of focusing on eternal things and thirsting for righteousness and wanting to be right with God. If you are not getting sustenance from God, then we are getting sustenance from something else. Let's carry on. John 6, verse 50 to 71. I'm going to break this down for us. Like Pastor Richard would say, I'm going to unpack this for us. I love you, Pastor. This is the bread which comes down from heaven. This is Jesus speaking. That one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Okay, if you're a visitor in church, we do not promote cannibalism. We need to refer to John 1, where Jesus says, listen to this, church. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then later in the verse it says this, and the Word became flesh. So what is Jesus saying to us? Jesus is trying to explain to these guys, listen, I am the living Word. I am. You need to be consuming me. You need to partake of me. And this is why it is also important for us to read the Bible systematically. Because, like, if you're just going to jump into any verse in the Bible, you're not going to understand where it actually comes from. So it's like, with this one, we had to refer to John 1, where Jesus is just telling them, listen, I am the living bread. Now let's continue reading. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at that last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood drink indeed. He who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Unless we partake of this word, we have no life. Apart from Jesus, there is no life. Christ says, listen, I am not like the manna that your fathers ate in the desert, because that was a momentary thing. It was there in the day, and then it was gone again. And Christ says, listen, I am the bread of life. I am eternal. You need to partake of me. You need to receive from me. And when you receive from me, you will have life. But if you don't get anything from me, there is no life. There is no life, church. And if you partake of this word, your appetite changes. The more you consume my God, your appetite changes. You begin to speak different. You begin to look different. And then you come to the table. I had to hide these because we had kids in the house. I think this should be like this, actually. If I invited, Devin, please come here, champ. Can you please help me so that everybody can see what's going on? If I invited anyone to come to this table, especially my youth, they would come in. This will not matter to them. And this will also not matter to them. They will look at the cool venkies. And they will open one. And they will consume it. The suit. Yo. But. Hoolies. If I called my youth, that's where they would start. And I believe, you know, sometimes this is where we come. We know where the good food is. We know where the good food is. We know we need our veggies. We know we need our fruits. That is good. We know we need our cucumbers. I never used to eat vegetables until I got married. Life has changed. But sometimes I picture us like this as human beings. We know where the good food is. We know why God is calling us. And it's like, listen, you need to partake of me. Okay, Jesus, I understand I need to partake of you. Let me just check my WhatsApp quickly. Got a message from my mom. I need to respond. Okay? I'll come to this. Jesus, you're not going anywhere. I'll come to this. But what we don't realize is, with a cupcake, it's a minute on the lip, but a lifetime on the hips. Church, you're getting a youth sermon this morning. But that's the reality. This is where we want to be. But we need to be here. Hey, we all know the saying, one apple a day keeps the doctor away. Is it true, Dr. Tracy? This is where we need to be. This is where we need to be. Where we are consumed by this word. And Jesus is like, you need to be consumed by this word. Because if you're not consumed by this, there is so many things that's going to consume you. There is so many things that's going to consume you. Like this, there's an app on my phone. And it shows me how long I've been on WhatsApp. And I was shocked. And I was like, okay, I need to put this down a bit. But then you begin to wonder, but what if there's a prayer request? There's the waarheid as jy vir die kantoor werk. And Brett is phoning me, like, literally right now. And that's what happens. We are so consumed. And we know we need to be with Jesus. And we need to put these things aside. We need to put those things aside. So that we can focus on God. Listen, church. We need to be like, okay, listen. I need to partake of the word. I need to move away from distractions. I need to put that thing down. I call it the one-eyed demon. I need to put that down. Because like I need to be in this word. If I am not in this word, then I shouldn't be preaching. I shouldn't be preaching. If I'm not in this word, then it's like I'm just giving you of myself. Which is not good. This, I need to be so consumed with this book so that I can speak the truth of God to you. If I'm not speaking from this book, then listen, this is not a place for me to be. I need to be consumed by the word of God. And I understand sometimes we have this struggle. Church, that's the thing. It's been a struggle in my life, and this is why I can speak about this. Because I saw it consumed me so much. I remember my wife said to me, it's like, Leafy, remember what you said. The first couple of years of marriage, we're not going to have a TV in our house. But love, you know I watch sermons. Yeah, but you said. And sometimes we say so much, but we do so little. And James says this to us, listen, don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. So, excuse me, this book must consume us. So that all of the, this is good. This we can consume. But this is what's going to make us drift away. The pleasures of the world are going to make us drift away so much from God. And we need to pay special attention to how we live our lives. I want to challenge you today. When you leave the church, just go sit at home and just pull out like your diary or something and write down, what consumes my time? What consumes my time? Amen, church. Let's carry on. Your life will always go in the direction of what you consume. Ain't that pain? Maar dat is die waarheid. Your life will always go in the direction of what consumes you the most. If you're consumed by the word, then your life is going to be following Christ. Everything else is going to be coming around you, but you're going to be like, you know what, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, you are all I need. Take this world, but give me Jesus. But if your world is consumed by pleasures of this world, you're going to be leaving Jesus aside. And I saw that happen in my life also. And it's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. Amen. Let's carry on with the scripture. Now we're going to pick it up from verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself what the disciples, that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. What Jesus gives us is life. When we spend time in the presence of God, there is life. Peter says this, where shall we go? Where shall we go? You have the words of life. Church, what's your diet plan? What do you need to cut from your life? What are the things that must go? What are those things that you're struggling with that you need to bring before the Lord and say, Jesus, for a time now I've been struggling with this. But God, I want to put this aside so that I can focus on you. You see, there's a scripture in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. It's not on the screen. It says this, flee away all youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness together with those that call upon the name of the Lord. Because sometimes it's like, we try to run away from this. We try to run away from this, but there is no replacement for this. You cannot just run away from something. You have to replace it with something. If you're going to say like, this is it, this is the end, I don't want this anymore, then this has to come into your life. This has to be what you take in now. It's like all the guys at gym. Everybody that goes to gym understands this. You cannot be ripped if you're going to consume this. You need to change your diet. And I need to too. And so in the week, you know, I said, I'm not going to eat sugar anymore. But what do you do when your senior pastor brings you a chocolate? You look at it, and you say, thank you. And you put it away where you don't see it. But I kept looking at it. And I began to eat it. That's the thing. I need to have more of these in my office. When you look at this, you can see there's life here. Contact bike. Help yourselves. Please. Stefan, later, Kisne. This is where we need to be, church. Because this is going to help us grow. We need to be there. Peter's like, Jesus, where shall we go? I'm not going to leave you because you're telling me I need to partake of you. You have the words of eternal life. I should be excited right now because I know you're going to fill me. You're going to fill me. As I'm in the word, God, you're going to fill me so that I don't have a desire for something else. When I'm filled with the word of God, the desires for the world vanishes. And Satan's going to try everything to come at you again. But then you're like, the word is going to fill me. Second last scripture, but we're going to pick this up from verse 7, James 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And yes, my favorite part, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw nearer to you. And I believe that's the goal also of the Christian life, where we choose to draw near to God, because we understand as we draw nearer to him, he's going to come closer to us, because it's a promise that he has given. And God is not a man that he should lie. He's like, come to me, and I will draw nearer to you. So it always starts with us. It always starts with us, where we say, okay, I want God, I want Jesus, I'm coming after him. And Christ is going to be like, okay, now I'm going to draw closer to you. Because I can see there's a desire in your heart. There's a desire in your heart, and there's a hunger. There's a hunger in your heart because you are hungering after me. You are thirsting for righteousness. You're thirsting for a right place with me. And I'm going to come. I'm going to come. I'm going to come. And my last scripture, actually before this last scripture, there's a song that I just want us to listen to. Then I'll just close with the scripture. Thank you, Brett.
Jesus, keep me near to scripture. Jesus, keep me near to your heart, for outside of you, I am lost. That's beautiful. It's when we are close to him where he can lead us. Apart from Christ, church, there is no life. Last scripture, Psalm 27, verse 8. This is David speaking. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, Lord, your face I will seek. Let us choose to partake of the Lord this week and forevermore. Let's pray together as the band comes up. Father, this morning, we choose you, Lord. Father, the pleasures of this world will fade away, but you will stand forever. Father, I pray, God, that when you return, Lord God, you will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And not walk away from me, for I never knew you. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we would choose you above everything else, God. That we would choose your desires above our own desires, God. That your desires will become our desires, God. Draw us closer to you, God. Take this world, but give us Jesus. Form in us a heart, God, of divine beauty. As we yield ourselves to you, God, have your way in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, if there's any prayer request, please come to the front. We would love to pray with you. And if you want a cupcake, you're most welcome to have one. Blessings, church. Thank you for being here. Amen.
Amen. Just before we stand, I just want to thank Moja for an amazing word. And we all stand here with a choice here this morning. We know the sermon is not about cupcakes and cucumbers and tomatoes and grapes. It's about our lives. It's about the choices we make spiritually. And what Morta just did so beautifully this morning was to compare and to contrast our choices spiritually. And I believe we all are faced with a challenge this morning around our spiritual diet, about, like he said, you know, what feeds us, what satisfies us, what do we consume, and are we consumed by it? And I just believe, maybe let's just stand together. I believe there's an opportunity for us to respond this morning. And let's just become quiet before the Lord and I believe the question that the Lord is asking in love this morning is, do I satisfy you? Are you satisfied with me? Am I enough for you? And in jest, we can ask ourselves, what's your cupcake? What's the thing you run to that's not God that satisfies you? And I believe the Lord wants to just come and gently put his hand and his finger on that part of our life that perhaps is not fully consecrated to him. And I actually believe the Lord wants to do a work of healing and even deliverance here this morning. So I'm going to be bold and say, if the Lord has spoken to you about hungering and thirsting for him instead of other things, and only you will know what those things are. I believe we must come to the front this morning so we can pray together and minister to one another. And that can be anything. It can be your challenge, your battle, your distraction, even your idol. So let's just get honest before the Lord this morning. Father, we come before you. And God, we just thank you for your immense love for everyone in this place. God, thank you that because you love us, God, you speak clearly and directly, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are such a gentleman that doesn't come and disgrace us or call out our sin or our shame, but you invite us to the table. And Father, we just acknowledge that right now there's an invitation to a table, to a setting with you. And Father, we acknowledge, God, that yes, the world does scream and shout louder for our attention, but this morning, Father, we want to choose the right diet. We want to choose to be satisfied by you. And so if the Lord is speaking to you about something that you perhaps need to come and lay down or just pray about, why don't you come to the front? We're going to carry on worshiping. But if that's you, then come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. And I believe the Lord, as the people are coming to the front, I believe the Lord wants to just touch us in a special way this morning. And his presence is so tangible and so powerful here. And so let's just all close our eyes and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now, just for the next few seconds. And just allow yourself to be vulnerable before the Lord, to be honest before the Lord. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We welcome you in speaking to us right now about those things that perhaps don't bless you, that are not even sins in many cases, but just distractions. Holy Spirit, you are the one who convicts. You are not the one who condemns. We acknowledge that the evil one condemns. You are the one who convicts in love. And so I pray that you would convict by your Spirit right now, every life, every heart. And thank you for the invitation. Thank you for the invitation this morning. And we respond to that invitation. So if the Lord has spoken to you now, come forward. We'd love to pray for you. It's an invitation that's open to you. And often it just takes humility. And it takes courage to say, yes, this is something I struggle with. Or this is something I perhaps need to pay less attention to. Perhaps even lay down in my life. Thank you, Father, for these folk in front here. And we pray, Lord, that you would minister to us now. That you would gently correct and heal. And redirect by your Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.